Well, thank you, Thomas. I love that song. I sang that song back in high school, middle school, and it has like seven-part harmony and this great piano part, and I'm like, man, I wish we could do that because it was exciting to play, but when you see the music, you'll think, I can't play it. But anyway, it's a very powerful song, and we're continuing our sermon series, though, Good News This Morning, and to the title of today's lesson, and I want to promise you, I did not plan this to be on this weekend. God must have planned it this way, and so we'll see what God does with it. But the title of today's message is Divided. Divided. And it sounds pretty similar to what's going on today in America. But we're not preaching an American sermon, we're preaching a Jesus sermon. And that's the important thing to remember. And so we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 37. But the passage is also found in Mark chapter 3, or at least an abbreviated part of this is found in Mark chapter 3 as well. But today we're actually going to be reading straight from Matthew chapter 12. And it'll be up on the screen. And in verse 22 it says this, he says, "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and was healed, and he healed them, so that the blind and mute can both speak and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and the fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account for in that day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. God, I pray that you just speak to us through your Holy Spirit and teach us and have us to hear what we need to hear and apply it in the way we need to apply it. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, obviously we love Jesus. I love Jesus, but I love reading his interaction with the Pharisees. And if you make no mistake about it, Jesus was not a wimp of any sort when it came to talking with anybody. Jesus did not pull punches. Jesus did not step in like a lot of people want to do and go, oh, well, we have to be so gentle and say things. No, Jesus said it like it was. He called them brood of vipers. He got after them on other things. Like that phrase, well, if I'm casting them out by the devil, then who are you casting them out by? Oops. Jesus didn't pull any punches in any of these passages, and it still saddens me when we read Scripture, though, that the religious leaders didn't see what was happening. They just didn't get it. There was a jealousy amongst them that couldn't root for Jesus. This sounds so much like the world we live in today. Did you have to pick your side? You have to pick whatever hill you're going to be on. And you can't be happy when the other side gets a victory. And it doesn't matter which version of that you want to go with, right, left, in between, up, down, over, under, it doesn't matter. We live in a very divided world. Matter of fact, Jesus told us this world would be this way, even on a spiritual level. That as we go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we become believers, that we are going to divide ourselves from a lot of the world because the world does not love Jesus. The world doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. So we're going to come into those struggles. But the point he brings out is something I think that we should take into consideration. Number one, unity is vital to the kingdom. Unity is vital to the kingdom. How many churches are there in the Gainesville area? That's a trick question. You're right, there's many church buildings in the Gainesville area. There's many fellowships of believers in the Gainesville area. How many churches are in the Gainesville area? One. There's the body of Christ, the church. I want to say the church of God, but that leads us to another belief system, and that's not what I'm talking about. The kingdom of God, the people of Jesus, the sons and daughters of the Most High, those that have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, there is but one body. We may function differently, we may be in different areas, but we are one body. We need to find a way to be unified, to be united in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe firmly there's a reason that churches are all over. Now, there's the earthly reason, because somebody got mad and left a church and started another one, right? It was either over carpet or pews versus chairs or something. Sometimes it's over really important stuff, theology and, you know, and deep stuff that really should be taken care of. I'll give you that. We were driving up through the mountains, and it's funny. There's probably more Baptist churches per capita up in the state of North Carolina than there are people. I don't know how there's so many Baptist churches up there. It's crazy. But you can tell that there were these big farms and these little places and farmlands, and what happened is somebody in the family needed a church, so they started one. Well, then a brother moved away or got mad at somebody else or maybe moved a few miles down the road. Well, what'd they do? Started another church. And they started another church, and there's some power in that. Because what have we done? We've spread the gospel out. We've planted churches all over town, and if we got together, we can begin connecting the dots. I used to love connected dot books. Y'all remember those? Start with number one, you find number two, you draw it. What do you get? You got a bunch of dots and lines, right? But as you begin to connect them, what do you finally see? You finally get the picture that was intended. You finally get to see what the person that put the book together wanted us to see, to draw, to color in. If we as the body of Christ, if we could find unity within the church, and rejoice and celebrate with one another, we begin to connect those dots all around the world. We begin to become the picture that God wants us to be. The illustration that God wants us to put forward to this lost and dying world. And unity is vital to the kingdom. It's vital within this individual body of Christ. What did Jesus say? A house divided against itself can't stand, can it? Not to get into anybody's business, but if you've ever had dad is on one side of an issue and mom is on the other, is there peace in that house? If you've got kids that are one way and parents that are another way, is there peace in that house? A house divided against itself. Now, you can jump out of the spiritual and you can bring it into the political today, that a nation divided against itself is going to have a hard time standing as well, is it not? But what Jesus is telling us is that, you know what? There's unity there. And number two, he also tells us what you do shows what side you're on. Because see, Satan wouldn't go around kicking out Satan, would he? Gang members don't go in kicking fellow gang members out of their gang. Well, I'm going to prove that I'm the powerful one, so I want you out of here. I'm going to throw you out too. Why? Because what happens? The gang gets weaker and weaker as you do that. So why would Satan do that? He wouldn't. Talks about going into the house of the strong man. You must first bind the strong man. Coming to my house to rob, what's going to happen? I may not be considered the strong man, but I'm the armed man. You better figure that out before you come in the door. It just makes sense. Why would Jesus do that? Hey, you know, if we're doing things for God, doesn't it kind of show that we're on His side? Now, granted, we're doing the right things. We're doing the things that He's asking us to do. Because we know from Scripture there are those that tried to imitate what God was doing, and it didn't fare so well for him, did he? Remember the magician that went and tried, he wanted to cast out demons too, and so he goes and cast them out, and he tried to do it, but he was doing it the wrong way. He's doing it in the wrong name. He got his hindquarters kicked for it. People should be able to look at us and go, that's a Christian, based on what we do. Based on how we are, based on how we interact. You'll know the tree by its what? Fruit. Most of the time, you don't go up to a tree with a nice red shiny thing on it hanging, pluck that red shiny thing and go, this is an orange tree. Do you? Now, don't get me wrong, there are probably some geneticists at UF that could do that to us. But most of the time, you pick that shiny red thing, it's an apple. Or a cherry tree. I guess you could pick other red shiny things. You know the tree because of the fruit that it has. It presents itself a certain way. If it's a non-fruit-bearing tree, how do you know it? Well, it's got leaves on it, doesn't it? Can you tell the difference between an oak leaf and a pine needle? Yeah. Now, getting much more than that, I need a degree in something because I got a lot of trees. I have no idea what they are. The leaves start to look alike. But you know it by its fruit. You know brothers and sisters in Christ by their fruit. If they're not bearing fruit, what's that say? There's an issue. If you have a fruit tree that's not bearing fruit, what's wrong with that tree? Something. Either the soil it's in's not good, needs some work. The tree could be dead inside. From what I've heard about some trees, it's interesting that it takes more than one tree to get fruit. Just like, except for Mary, that's the only person who's ever had a child without another person being involved. It takes two to produce that fruit too, doesn't it? But I've heard that there's some trees. So sometimes maybe that person who's not producing fruit just needs to get into the body of Christ, get with other believers to begin to produce fruit. But there's something wrong. If we're not producing fruit, there's something wrong with what we're doing. Plain and simple. If we're producing bad fruit, then what? There's something wrong. And it's hard. You can change bad fruit. Again, soil amendments and things like that, and it depends on how bad the fruit is. Anybody bitten into something just didn't quite taste right? A little too sour, a little too something. Do what? Yeah. I think the word used to be pithy. You're like, that's not right. That's not good. I've had bacon like that before, but that was at camp. So you just know it's not right. There are things you can do. Give it more water. Give it less water. Give it more fertilizer. Give it less fertilizer. It's funny how much stuff takes like this almost perfect balance to produce right, doesn't it? You know what, number three? There is no middle. It's all or nothing with Jesus. You can't walk the middle line and be okay. You're all in or you're all out. It's yes or no. I could throw these out, you know, over and over again, but that's just the reality of it. We try to walk the middle. What happens? Where's the safest place on the road? Do you drive in the middle lane, right in the middle? We do out in the country because there's potholes and it's rough on the side of the road, don't you? But do you stay there if somebody else is coming? No, you get out the middle. Because the safest place to be is not walking right in the middle of the road or driving in the middle of the road. You shouldn't be walking in the road anyway. Just bear that in mind, safety tip this morning. But the middle is never really the safest place to be. The middle's not where we need to be with our walk. We've got to decide yes or no. We got to get in. Number four, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you better listen. And I've said this before, it doesn't matter what you do in this life, God can forgive you of it. You can kill somebody, God can forgive you. You can be divorced, God can forgive you. You can lie, God will forgive you. You can cuss, God will forgive you. Those people that have alternate lifestyles, God can forgive you. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? That means not listening to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks, not listening, especially when the Holy Spirit speaks and says, "This is Jesus, the Son of God. Believe in Him." Why was Jesus going around casting out demons? Do you think it was just for attention? Not just for attention. He didn't need the attention. He wasn't seeking the praises of man. Was it to relieve somebody of something that was bad? Yeah. But also, as he said, who can cast out demons? Only God can. It's only in the power of God. What is he doing? He's going around testifying to who he is by what he's doing. As he's casting out demons, people are going, "Is this the Son of David? Could this be the Messiah?" And the religious leaders, "He's a devil. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit was speaking, saying, look at who he is." They should understand, they should realize, they should get to know who this is. The power of God is being shown. When the Holy Spirit speaks today, he speaks to us. Everyone, I'm a firm believer that everyone at some point in their life, God will call them. I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's through a person, if they have one of those moments when they get overheated out in the sun and God speaks and says, "You're going to die." But except, I don't know how it works. But I believe that God gives everyone an opportunity through the power of the Holy Spirit to come to know who he is. And what happens if you ignore the Holy Spirit? Where do you end up? If you don't accept the call of Christ into your life and accept him as your Lord and Savior, where do you go? You're going to hell. You're not going to eternity with Christ in heaven. You're spending eternity in hell with the devil. There's why it's the unforgivable sin, because once you're there, there's no parole. Once you set foot into the gates of hell, you're not out. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you better listen, especially in salvation. But this also goes on in our lives. God is speaking to us all the time. How do we know what He's doing? How do we know where to go? How do we learn? How do we grow? We listen to the Holy Spirit and what He speaks in our life. And I promise you, I've experienced this as well, but when God is drawing you to something and you try to fight against it, is it a comfortable place to be? No. It is a struggle. If we would just yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm going to say life is perfect because we know we're going to have struggles in this world. But it gets a lot easier, at least spiritually. That house is not rocking from the inside. We're not having that inner battle within ourselves. But number five, words matter. Words matter. Jesus says, "How can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in other words, the things that we say is coming from somewhere. It's coming, it's overflowing from within us. I'm pretty sure we've all had those moments. Your day's been frustrating. Things have just been piled on. And then that one little straw, just, I don't, it doesn't matter what it is, just kind of goes, doop, and you just lose it. Right? And out of your mouth, blah. Whether it's a single word, whether it's a tirade of whatever. See, our heart's been bubbling that stuff up all day. And then now it just overflows. Words matter. Jesus says every idle word men may speak, we're going to even account for in the day of judgment. Is that not scary words right there? Can you think back of everything you've said in the past week? Well, if you said the right stuff. Now, I don't know if that is. I mean, he says every word. So, I don't know if that means every single word, or is he talking about every word that we talk about him, or don't talk about, you know. But, again, I'm kind of a simple guy. It says every word, so I'm kind of on the, well. There's a great video. It's called Heaven's Waiting Room, and I used to show it to the youth. And he's got this guy who's, obviously he's died, and he's in like this office building. He's sitting there with an angel going, "Okay, well, let's go over your permanent record." What? He starts going back, and he goes, "Okay, remember, third grade, you called Susie a duty head." He said, but, you know, and he starts going through all these things that he's done over his life. And man, it was not looking good for this guy. And it's funny how many of the things he was were something he said. "Well, yeah, I called her that then, but now, you know." And it's this funny video. And all of a sudden, the door kind of opens, and, you know, the angel kind of gets to attention, and it's Jesus steps in. He looks at him. He's like, "Well, hey, Bob, how's it going?" He's like, "Good." He's like, "You know him?" He's like, "Yeah, we go way back. Hey, do you want to get something to eat? Let's go," you know. And so he's like, "Oh, but sir, have you seen this?" "Oh, I know all about it. It's taken care of. Don't worry about it." See, that's the grace of God, that we're going to have to give an account. We've got all this stuff that's been in our book that's been written down. I don't know if God, I mean, we talk about guardian angels, and I know mine needs therapy, I'm sure, but we have guardian angels. But do you think we were assigned an angel to sit back at the recorder going, "What did he say?" And then we get to that point where we stand there and we stand before Jesus Christ and he goes, "No, my blood has covered all that." But it's important to know that words matter. He says, "For by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned." We're going back to this idea as well. What does Scripture tell us? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. See, our words matter. What we speak matters. What comes out of here comes from here. Now, I've just been going through a class, and when we talk about the heart, the spirit, the mind, is all of these kind of tied up into one, and I won't get into that, but there's something there. If our words are not that sweet fruit of Jesus, of the gospel, then we should probably take a look at what the rest of our tree looks like. Are we growing in the right soil? Are we doing the right things? Are we allowing the master gardener to tend us on a regular basis? If not, then we need to get right with him. We live in a world that's divided. Politically, socially, racially. And you know that's what the devil seeks to do. Divide and divide and divide. But of all the places that we need to be that light, that we need to come together in the unity of the body of Christ, it's within the church. And it begins with us here this morning. I can't control what the other church is doing in another part of town. Neither can you. We can fix what we've got. We can rejoice in what we have. We can help improve and grow where we're at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, help us. Help us to be unified as a body of believers. Lord Jesus, I pray that if we need work, if our fruit's starting to not look so good, God, we give you permission to just begin working the soil, tending the heart. Lord, I pray that you forgive us if we've sent bad fruit out into this world. Lord Jesus, I pray that you forgive me and forgive us for any words that we've put out there just absentmindedly, that we've let our heart bubble up and flow over, God, but heal our hearts. Change our hearts, Father. Jesus, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that you have forgiven every sin that we have ever committed and will ever commit. Holy Spirit, we pray that you just move on the hearts of these people. We pray that you move on the hearts of this nation. God, help us to repent and come before you humbly. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thomas is going to come. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation here. I will be here. If you need to talk, come on. After that hymn, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. It'll be a little bit different, but we'll explain that.